Yes, there is a great day coming. And we've already talked about, are you ready? So we're not going to talk about, are we ready tonight? We're going to talk about what is going to happen if we're not ready tonight. Punishment of the wicked. I could only think of one song that would go with this particular lesson. And I told Jerry, there's a great day coming. And then he grabbed onto that one. We'll be singing it in a few moments. But there is a great day coming. But there's some things we have to take care of before we're ready for that great day, which is coming. One of those things that we need to take care of, that Joel's father is in the hospital with a very serious case of strep throat. And he, I'm sure, would appreciate your prayers. I'm sure Joel would appreciate your prayers on behalf of his father. And I know Clarence needs those prayers. So let's remember, part of our responsibility is to take care of our brothers, and Clarence is our brother. So let's remember that situation along with others who we may have knowledge of that are in a position to need our prayers. Now the song that we are, the lesson that we are about to study. The song that we just sung, there's a great day coming. I find joy in singing that song, do you? When I know what that great day is, and to the best of my ability I'm working to really enjoy that great day, I enjoy the song. It's a challenge, it's a courage, and I don't think we can overdo the singing of it. The last verse in that song tells us why it's such a great day. Because in that day, there's some not going to enjoy it at all. But we can. And therefore, we have a right to enjoy it. God has given us all that is necessary to enable us to enjoy it. Now, the responsibility is up to us individually. And there's only a degree to which I may help you. You may help me to be successful when that great day comes. And one of those things that we both need is knowledge of what's going to happen to those who are not ready. Therefore, what do we need to know about the punishment of the wicked? Turn with me to the 8th chapter of the book of Acts. In Acts chapter 8 at verse 22. Verse 22. I'm going to read verse 22. And in a moment, we just might read a little more of that context. This is what verse 22 tells us. Repent, therefore, of this thy wickedness, and pray God, if perhaps the thought and thine heart may be forgiven thee. Wickedness. Wickedness. What do we know about wickedness? How would you describe wickedness if someone should ask you, what is wickedness? Well, to cover the whole meaning of the word, you're going to have a long time. Simply because there are so many words that are included in this one word, wicked. Wickedness. It's one of the nastiest words that you'll ever speak or that you will ever know. But it is one of the words that is designed for somebody to experience. And the conditions to avoid or to escape having that responsibility, God has prepared and extended it to us. No wonder then we are instructed to study, to show ourselves approved unto God. Why? That we may avoid anything that is relatively connected with wickedness. The only way to escape it is to know more about God, to love Him more, and consequently have a stronger faith in Him. Because that's what it's going to take for us to avoid this wickedness. This wickedness that we want to give some thought to this evening is not a wickedness, and this world is certainly full of wickedness, but it is not the wickedness that God is going to place upon people now. Oh, I know that there are false teachers that teach us that we're all going to be saved for eternity. God's only going to punish the wicked in the course of time. Now, if that is so, I would like to know the book, the chapter, and the verse in God's book that I may turn to it and study it, because it sounds pretty good to me. Get that over with before we face God for eternity. But the truth of the matter is, God didn't teach that. Therefore, we need to know God. We need to know what He did teach concerning this wickedness, that He is going to pass upon the wicked at the end of time, and not during the course of time. That's just another one of the barrel full of false teachings. Well, how are we going to define this word, wicked or wickedness? I don't know which of the many, many words in the New Testament that are used to talk about the same word. For every word that, pardon me, every word that is bad finds its home in this one word, wicked. And there are so many words that God has used that their course always faces back to wickedness. So you see, if we took care of every one of these, drew the map as it were, if we had the good chalk to write on a bad blackboard, we might make a chart of the situation. We'd write wickedness over here on the board, and then we'd list over here the many, many words that God uses in His Word to help us to understand what wickedness is made up of. And so as we would deal with the word bad, that's one of them. That doesn't sound so bad, does it? We use bad for a lot of things. But bad is one of the terms that God uses to tell us about wickedness. So we'd tie it in over here then with wickedness. Then we come back over here and he uses the word sin. We all have a little bit more knowledge concerning the word sin. And so we'll write sin over here and tie it then with wickedness over here. And down the line we could go. And I don't know how many words. I counted several in the study of this lesson. That all are in connection with being wicked or wickedness. Every one of them. So, to talk about wickedness, we have a lot to talk about if we covered the whole picture that God has presented for us in His Word. But, of course, time will not permit us to study all of those words. We know what the word bad means. You probably, if you have a dog at your home, you probably tell that dog every once in a while, bad, bad dog. Isn't that so? We do. Bad, bad dog. When he makes a mess on your rug, is he a good dog? No, he's a bad, bad dog. So we use that word quite often. Maybe if our children do something that we don't exactly approve of, and we would use the word bad in dealing with that situation. So it's a very common word. We all use it. But do we realize that it is connected to wickedness? To wickedness? And then, of course, the other word I used a while ago, sin. We hear that all the time, especially we attend services and the Bible classes and so on, because the book's full of that term, sin. We have some knowledge concerning what sin is, do we not? It's a violation of God's Word, just in one simple definition. Violation of God's Word. So what do? We tie it in with wickedness. And on we would go. Lawlessness. Being another. God used it to describe those that's not going to heaven in the by and by. So we have to tie it in with wickedness. And on we could go. The book is full of the definition of this word wickedness. So there's a lot that we could read about in the Word of God concerning this term. But I'm afraid that there probably are a lot of folks, and I'm not saying they're all here, not at all, who don't want to talk about wickedness. And I don't blame you. It's not a nice word. It's a dirty word. It's a filthy word. But it's a word we have to deal with. Because God deals with it. Therefore, we have to, or we're not going to avoid the action that is connected with wickedness. So we've got to deal with wicked. Well, there are many passages that we could go to, but let's understand to begin with. What is wickedness? What does it lead us to? Is it something that will lift us up? Something that will give us a good portion of this life and a whole portion of eternal life with the presence of God? Just what are we going to benefit by wickedness? By sin? The word bad, it's used, what are we going to profit by anything that's bad? Nothing. Depends on what it is. It's not a profit, but we may suffer with a lot of pain because of badness. That would not condemn us necessarily, but on the other hand, it could. It could. So we have to learn then what is bad and what our attitude toward that which is bad that we must exercise in dealing with it. Now there's the lesson that we need to get out of wickedness. We all face that which is not right. Do we not? Is any of us perfect and we don't face something maybe on a daily basis that is just simply not right? I'm sure we do, whether we realize it or not. If we fail to glorify God every day of our life, we're doing something every day that's not right. So if it's not right, what is it? It's bad. It's bad. It's wicked. And there's a definition for its determination. So then, what does God have to say about wickedness? Wickedness is what God is going to serve up to those who are wicked. Now, if they are wicked, just think of all the words that God has used, that we use all the time, that describe or define wickedness. Bad, sin, lawlessness, iniquity, and on they could go in naming a number of those words that are all against us. And it is in the course of this life that we must have the ability, which we get as a result of studying what God says, what is connected with wickedness, to enable us to avoid it. Well, that simply means we got to find out what's good. And when we find out what's good, then we're going to have to make that a part of our daily life. Where do we get that which is good anyway? We can't go down to the hardware store and buy it, or the grocery store, not even go to the bank and get it. We must go to God, because He gives us the right answer. This world is full of false teachers, and that which is false is bad, because it is against that which is good, you see. So then, we must realize where that is going to take us. First, we've already noted the fact that it's not going to greatly affect us in the course of our life. Oh, we'll encounter many things that are not very good. They're bad, but they'll not condemn us. Wickedness will condemn us. So we may have a bad headache. That's not a sin, unless you've done something sinful that caused it. Then sin's involved with it. And a lot of folks are guilty of that. So then, we want to do everything that we can to avoid that headache by doing what we know is right, that we have received from the teachings of Almighty God. And if we can fully understand that when that dish of wickedness is handed out in that last day, it's not going to be good. It's not going to be a happy time. And we're going to sing the song after a while, "There's a Great Day Coming." And a part of that song tells us about what is going to be so ungreat that's going to be met upon that day. We should inspire us to put forth even more energy to learn what God would have us do to avoid this. Let's turn to the book of Matthew for just a moment. In Matthew chapter 3, Matthew chapter 3, and I'll get there in just a moment. I don't have the best light up here for eyes that are not producing much to be seen. Matthew chapter 3, and we want to begin noting with verse 11. "I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire." Does that sound good so far? If we're not equipped with the Word of God to meet Him being ready, we're going to have a taste of that fire. That doesn't sound appetizing to me. Does it to you? Well, let's read on. Whose fan is in His hand, and He will thoroughly purge the floor, and gather His wheat into the garner, and He will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Unquenchable fire. What does that tell us? It's a fire that nobody's going to put out. Let's call the fire department to help us put it out, because they can't put it out. Nobody can but God. And so we're going to meet, if we're not ready, the wicked will meet this unquenchable fire. Now let me pause right here to make this notation. I haven't got there yet. And I'm working hard not to get there then. But I don't want anything to do with that unquenchable fire. And further than that, I don't know whether it's unquenchable or not. All I know is what God said. Now I know there's not going to be any material things to burn in that spiritual world. So I don't know what's going to fuel that fire, but this I do know on the basis of this description. Did you ever get burned in a fire? Doesn't feel very good, does it? It hurts. And it keeps hurting. Well, you think about a fire that they can't put out and see how it's going to feel. Think of it from the standpoint of feeling the result of it, not necessarily explaining what it is all about. It's simply language God uses to help us to understand how absolutely terrible that's going to be for the wicked. Now, if we're the righteous, it's not going to affect us. Because we will be with God, and He's not going to be in that fire. So, are we ready? But then we notice also relative to that, continuing just a little bit further here in our reading, beginning at verse 12, he says, whose fan is in his hand and will thoroughly purge his floor. Now, what do you think this means? Thoroughly purge his floor. He's going to have a clean house. Well, what would make it dirty? The wicked. Anything that's wicked would cause the house of God to be unclean. So He's going to thoroughly clean His house out. There's not going to be any filthiness or wickedness or dirtiness in His home. He's going to clean it out. What's He going to put in there? Those that are clean. Those who are righteous. Those who love God. Those who are striving to be obedient unto God. Those who want to go to heaven. And they're giving their life to gain that eternal home. So He's going to clean His floors then. And He will thoroughly purge the floor and gather His wheat into the garner. What does that tell us? The wheat's going to be taken care of too. But He will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Then comes Jesus into Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of Him. But John forbade Him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee. And comest thou to me? And Jesus answered and said unto him, suffer it to be so now, for thus it behooveth us to fulfill all righteousness, then he suffered him. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Now there's an example where we, to show us the starting place to avoid wickedness. You see the starting place? In Christ Jesus. If we do not obey Jesus the Christ, we're wicked. And in a lost state to begin with. So we've got to clean our house. Our mind, you see. God wants us to have a pure mind. In order for us to do or to live a life that is pure as His children. And so we must clean our house. He's talking about our mind. In order that we may be able to occupy God's house in that great day. Well, now what's going to happen if we don't get our house clean? He's not going to take us into His. Because He didn't want anything dirty in His house. And so we're too dirty to occupy it. That's wickedness. That's wickedness. We also recognize who is going to be there. Who's going to be there? Let's turn over to the book of Revelation, chapter 21, just to get a little glimpse of who's going to be there. Well, you know, we like to know who we're going to have company with. So this will give us an idea as to who we shall have company with over there. Revelation 21 and verse 8. Let's begin at verse 7. He that overcometh shall inherit all things. And I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Who's he talking about? That's God talking about those who are ready when he comes for his own. But the fearful, the unbelieving, the abominable, the murderers, the whoremongers, the sorcerers, the idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake that burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Now there's the kind of company that the wicked are going to have in that unquenchable fire. Do you like to associate with that kind of folks today? Well, it seems like a lot of folks in our country do, because they're trying to kick out of our lives anything that is righteous. And what's going to happen if anything that is righteous is not left? Wickedness is going to take over. As a matter of fact, we see it every day already. This old world is... It's hard to understand how it could be any wickeder than it is. Pick up the newspaper. Look at the television news. What do we hear? Listen to folks talk. Even though they themselves may not be right with God, they're complaining because they're not even right with the devil. But they're not seeking a way to be right with God. That's where you come in. That's where I come in. When we find ourselves in the company of folks with that kind of attitude, there's the opportunity that we're looking for. In order to pull that wicked one out of that sinful state by introducing them to God and to encourage their obedience to Him. And then begin to live the life that God describes for us in His book. Preparing ourselves to avoid that state of wickedness for the vastness of an unending period called eternity. Well, there's so much more. But I just said, just given a little bit to help us to kind of shape up our minds a little bit. And we can see wickedness all around us, but we've got to recognize the fact that there's a way for us to escape or to avoid that wickedness. Not easy. God didn't promise us that it would be easy. Because He said, fight that good fight of faith that you may lay hold on to eternal life. Fight the good fight of faith. What kind of a fighter are you? Paul said to Timothy, as he told Timothy, he was a good soldier of Christ. Timothy was to teach other folks to be good soldiers of Jesus Christ. What constitutes a good soldier? To have a good knowledge of the enemy. Paul said to the Corinthians, we're not without knowledge of the devil. That's right, because God describes him to a T. And we learn about God, we'll learn about the devil, the enemy. And he is working so successfully throughout the world to take religion, belief in God, righteousness, salvation, out of existence. What are we to do? Exercise our righteousness in picking up the sword of the Spirit and doing battle with that which is wicked. Anything that does not agree with Almighty God is wicked. It's wrong. It's sinful. Now, in our conclusion, let's go back to the book of Matthew again. Passage we're all familiar with. In chapter 7, Jesus tells us one example of what's going to happen in that day. In chapter 7, beginning at verse 13, that's a passage that we all are familiar with. And I'll just paraphrase it for the sake of time. Do unto others as you'd have others do unto you. Treat everybody else like you'd want them to treat you, is the idea. And we're who we ought to be. We want them to be nice to us. Therefore, we must be nice to them. That doesn't mean we have to be participators with them in their wickedness. Not at all. But our kindness, our love for them that we talked about this morning will drive us to try to help them out of the state in which they are occupying and turn their life around in order to be ready in that final day. But continuing with Jesus, He said, beginning in verse 15, or verse 14, He says, because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Now, I didn't read concerning the other way, did I? Why? Been talking about it ever since I've been up here. The broad way that leads to destruction. It's full of wickedness. But there is another way. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man is going to go to the Father except through Jesus. And so the way is provided for us in this narrow way. But continuing on, he says, in order to accomplish this, he says, beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth forth, that bringeth not forth, good fruit shall be hewn down and cast into the fire. Now, this is the same fire we just read about that's eternal, can't be put out. Wherefore, by their fruit ye shall know them. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into that kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. That's true. But many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have done many wonderful works? Where is the denominational religion that's not going to say that? Every one of them, and there are thousands of them, are going to make the claim that they're in this narrow way that leads to life eternal. But they're not. Why? Because they're wicked. That doesn't sound nice, does it? God said it. We're just accepting what God said. Listen to what he says even further. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? See, they're claiming to be right with God. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Work what? Iniquity. What is iniquity? Lawlessness. That's one of the words that's gone over here in this listing we made a while ago that has its tie in with wickedness. Jesus says he doesn't know those that are workers of iniquity. Well, now, what does that mean? That means that all of the religions of the world, to some degree, lay claim to Jesus the Christ in one way or another. But this is Jesus Christ that made this statement. I don't know you. You're workers of lawlessness. You're not being obedient to God's laws. What does that spell? That spells wicked. Wicked. So any time we think that we can help the Lord in what He designed for His kingdom, for His house, for His people, that we can improve upon it, and we can't find His authority for it in the book, you better look out. We're getting pretty wicked. And there will be no wickedness in heaven. Well, I'm sure we didn't cover it all, because there's so much more, so much passages that we could consider. But time will not suffice. The question is now, the very question that we started with a week or so ago. And that is, are you ready? Are you ready? There's a great day coming. We're about to sing. So if you think that you're not ready now for that great day, beloved, you have a great day to make the necessary change and be right instead of being wicked. And you have that opportunity right now. If you're not a child of God, and I don't see anyone that is not, but as a child of God, are you walking in the footsteps of Jesus? If you're stumbling along, putting one foot in a sinful state and trying to keep the other foot in love with God, you're just killing your time in wickedness. Won't you make yourself right with God, confessing your sins, praying Him to forgive you, and then get on with your business of being a faithful, loyal child of His? And you can begin that again right now as we stand.